Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
So the Lord answered me, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, write the vision. Read that part out loud. Write the vision, write the vision. You know, and we're going to talk about what that entails, writing the vision, because it goes beyond just having a sheet of paper and writing your vision down in your prayer journal or on a sheet of paper. What does this mean to write the vision? But God is telling Habakkuk, write the vision. That's the first action word in relationship to vision is write. He says, and make it plain upon tables. So we don't need a complex vision that takes a concordance, a Hebrew Bible, and three dictionaries to translate, all right? A simplified, plain vision for our lives. Write it plain upon tables or tablets that he may run that reads it. So the next action word after write is run. So I need to know the vision that God has for my life. I need to write that vision so that I can run with it. But not only do I need to have the word written or communicated for my own life, I need to be able to communicate the vision so that others can run with that vision. So he says, number one, write the vision. Number two, that you may run with the vision. See, how you do life should be in response to the vision you have for life. So if you're saying that you're called to be a doctor and you have a compassion for hurting people and sick people, and you want to visit and minister to the hurting, so that's your motive for wanting to go in the medical field, but yet you're in business school, I might say, okay, you're saying that you're called to be a doctor, and you feel like that's your calling, then what are you doing in business school? Well, you know, I need a business degree because I'm on my own practice, and I need to know how to run the practice. Yeah, but you're not going to have your own practice if you're not a licensed physician. So if you feel called to be a doctor, how are you running? Is the way you're running, is it lining up with the vision that you say you have? So when we have a vision for our lives, and I'm going to show you the importance of that vision being in line with God's word, but when you have a vision for your life, that should be what you're running with. I should be able to see your vision by how you run. Because if your vision says one thing, but the way you do life says another, then you're not running with your vision. So number one, write the vision. Number two, he says that he may run that reads it, and then verse 3, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's so important to recognize that to every vision, there's an appointed time for that vision to come to pass in our life. And what you'll find common about people that succeed in life, that are successful in life, in any facet of life, what you'll find that is common with people that have succeeded in life is that they have the ability to adapt to the season that they're in. When I write this vision for my life, I need to be able to run with that vision, and the way I'm running should complement or correspond with what I'm saying my vision is. Those two need to go together, and then I need to know that, okay, this may not happen overnight. And life's going to give me seasons, and I need to be able to adapt to the season I'm in. It doesn't mean I don't have a vision for my future. It doesn't mean I don't know where I'm going. I just happen to know where I am right now in this process, and I've got to adapt to the season that I am in as I head to where I'm going, because if you cannot adapt to the season you're in, you won't make it to the next. And life is filled with seasons. Genesis 8:22, God says that as long as the earth remains, there will be cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day, seed time and harvest. He's saying seasons are going to change, and our lives are filled with seasons. Based on where you are right now in your family, you may have young children, you're in a season. You may have no children, you are in a season. You better date every night and make the most of not having kids yet. Because when you have children, you're in another season. As they grow, you go through season. And as your children grow and they get involved in more things like sports and this and that, then that's another season. So our lives are filled with seasons, and we have to be able to adapt to the season Somebody said it like this: you got to roll with the punches. Tell your neighbor, you've got to roll with the punches. I've got to be able to respond to what life is giving me right now, all while not losing focus on the vision that I have for my life. Amen? So if somebody asks you if you want to buy something, you don't have to say you can't afford it. Don't need to tell nobody your financial business. Just say, not today. It's not that I can't afford it. It's just that I'm not in the season for that right now. So I'm just going to say, not today. Hey, you want to go out for some steaks tonight? Not today. You don't have to tell them that you can't afford a steak and that you're going by Taco Bell to eat off the 99-cent menu. We don't need all that. Shh. Keep all that quiet. You go to Taco Bell because you love a bean burrito with no onions. That's it. Not because you don't have but $1.10. So I'm adapting to the Taco Bell season that I'm in until I can make my way to the steakhouse. Glory to God. All right. So he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Now read this next statement with me. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And there's your third action word, wait. And this word wait does not mean I sit around on the couch eating Twinkies or moon pies, all right? Wait, biblical wait means, literally it's defined in Hebrew as to bind by twisting. It gives the picture of packing something up and you're binding it like luggage, preparing for a journey. The second part of the definition is get your stuff together. Get your stuff together. The biblical word wait means I'm getting my stuff together. Look at your neighbor and say, get your stuff together. Because if you have a vision for your life, then you need to be getting your stuff together in preparation for expectation. If you're expecting something to happen, show me what you expect by how you prepare. Because the ultimate evidence of expectation is preparation. Means I need to be preparing. So if your vision is to be married, and you say, my vision is I'm getting married this year, I just know it, that's my vision, I'm getting married. And I'm going to say, okay, do you have a job? Well, not yet. Bad answer. Because we need to get you a job before you talk about getting married. Amen. You say, well, no, I'm going to marry a wealthy woman. Wrong answer. God gave Adam work before he gave him Eve. And she's going to want something more than electricity and running water. Ladies could have jumped all over that and said amen. And I just left that sitting there. That's okay. That's okay. And you say, you know, I'm getting married this year. Okay, well, where do you live? My mom's basement. She don't want to go home to your mama's basement. And she don't want to say I do and have to say I do to mama's basement. You need to get your stuff together. Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. Follow his lead. Before you go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, go prepare a place. Amen. Y'all are quiet. I must have a lot of single folk here that are broke. All right. So, we're going to give you some vision. Go with me to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. But biblically, wait means I'm getting stuff together because I'm expecting something to happen, and that's where many believers miss it. That's where many people miss it in life. They'll write a vision down, get all excited about it, run with it for a little while, but because they don't know how to wait on it, they give up on it. And so write your vision, run with your vision, and wait on the vision. Write, run, and wait. Say those three words out loud together. Write, run, and wait. Now, let's go to Romans chapter number 4, and we're going to go down to verse number 17 and look at a man by the name of Abraham, because here's an example of God imparting vision. And let me talk about that just for a minute. Do you know that God has a vision for your life? That God has a vision for your life. Tell your neighbor that. God has a vision for your life. We have to know that. It's important that you know, whether you're 9 years old or 90 years old, that God has a vision for your life, that you really are a purpose with a name. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not insignificant. You have an identity. You have a call. You are a purpose with a name. The Lord God in heaven has a will for you, and his will for you is good. He has vision. God has a vision for our lives. So in order for God to get his vision for our lives into our lives, guess what he did? He has written the vision. So God has written his vision for our life, and his word gives us his vision so that we can run with the vision that God has for our lives. So as I open his word and I read his vision for my life, his plan for my life, as I read not only his vision for my life now, but for eternity, as I read the word, I see God's will for me, that his word is revealing to me his will and his hope, his desire, his plans for my future. He told Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 11, he said, I know the thoughts I have for you, and they are thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. He was saying, even in chapter 1, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you and ordained you. So there's a plan, there's a vision that God has for our lives, and he has written that vision in his word so that we can hear his word and then run, act out on the vision that God has communicated to us through his word. Now, so that means as we start writing out the vision for our lives in on paper or on our heart, as we start seeing the will of God in our life, that vision needs to be supported by what's been written. I need to be able to look to the scripture and say, this is my hope, this is my desire, this is what I want to see the Lord do, and then be able to point back to the written word and say, these scriptures, this scripture gives me this hope for this future. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, now let's look at Abraham, because it's a perfect example. Chapter 4, verse number 17, watch this. He says, as it is written, as it is written. Notice it's been written. First action word of vision. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. So God came to Abraham, whose first name was Abram, and he gives Abram a vision. Abraham and Sarah are up in years, and he tells Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a child. Sarah laughed at the idea of it. Abraham would laugh. And God said, okay, name him Isaac. Isaac means laughter. And that way, every time they called that boy in for supper, they'd remember that they laughed at the idea that he would ever be born. And so God says, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to call him Isaac because you laughed. And through Isaac, you're going to have seed to outnumber the stars. You'll become the father of many nations. Now, when God looked at Abram, he and Sarah were up in years and they had no children. But yet God said, I have made thee a father of many nations. See, we don't always see in our lives what God has made us to be. God looked at a man up in years who had no kids and said, I've made you a father of many nations. Matter of fact, his name was Abram, and God would change his name to Abraham, which literally means father of. He gave him a name that fit his purpose. And so he says, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, gives life to the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's God. God gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. In this case, quickening the dead was quickening Sarah's womb because she was old and she said, my womb is dead. I can't bear any children. And God said, well, I quicken the dead. And God quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So God looked at a man, Abraham, who had no children, and he said, I've made you a father of many nations. God was calling the thing that be not as though it were. God does that throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, that's what separates him as God. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, God says this. He said, I declare the end from the beginning. I don't wait till something happens and then give you a report on it. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. I call the thing that be not as though it were. And so when he looked at Abraham, he said, Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations, even though at that time, Abraham had no children. Now, there are people that take that verse out of context and they say, well, I'm calling the thing that be not as though it were. And you got somebody, you know, running around in a hyper faith, and they're looking at somebody talking about, that's my husband. And I say, well, I didn't know you were married. Oh, no, I'm not. Well, you just called that man. You're like, well, I'm calling a thing that be not as though. No, don't do that. You're going to make that man call on a restraining order. Don't call on the thing that be not. That's not what the word. That's God didn't tell you, you just call something. And the reason I address this is because I've seen people do this and just be silly calling things that be not as though it were. No. In line with the word, God in his word, because he's God, he can call a thing that be not as though it were. I mean, on creation dawn, he saw darkness, but said, let there be light. God calls the thing that be not as though it were because he always has what he says. So he looked at Abraham and he said, I have made you a father of many nations, even though at that time, Abraham had no children. Now watch verse 18. Who against hope, the hope of being old and his wife not being able to bear children, against hope, believed in hope. He took the hope that his body gave him. He took the hope that their age gave him. And he took that hope and hoped against hope, the hope that God gave him that he would become the father of many nations. Watch verse 18. Who against hope, believed in hope. Read that next statement. That he might become the father of many nations. Now, you must see the connection between verse 17 and 18. If you see this, it'll change everything in your life. Watch this in verse 17. He says, as it is written, I, God talking, I have made thee a father of many nations. God said, that's what I made you. Verse 18, he had to take what was written, what God's vision was, see? And he had to hope against hope, read the next part, that he might become the father of many nations. See, what I want you to do now is look at that second statement. We'll just read the first two statements in verse 17, everything in parentheses. Let's read verse 17, everything in parentheses. And then I want you to come down and read that second line in verse 18. Y'all with me? I know I can get complicated around here, but it's okay. It's all good. All right, ready? Read. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, that he might become the father of many nations. See, God said, this is what I made you. And Abraham said, I got to do something if I'm going to become that. So God, well, Abraham was saying, I desire to become what God made me to be. I desire to become what God made me to be. Abraham's acknowledging that at this time, I'm not what he made me to be, but I do want to be what he made me to be. So what did Abraham have to do in order to become what God had made him to be? What do I need to do to become what God made me to be? What do you need to do to become what God made you to be? See, I'm seeing right here that you can be something other than what God made you to be. But I want to know, how can I become what God made me to be? Because that was the dilemma that Abraham was in. So we're going to reread this, except now we're going to read all of verse 17 that's in the parenthesis, and then we're going to drop down and start at the beginning of verse 18 and read up to that second comma. Ready? Read. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. So what was in between God saying, I have made you the father of many nations, and then Abraham actually becoming what God made him to be? What was in between? He had the hope against hope. I'll give you another way of saying that. He had the vision against vision. My point is that he had to look at his life, look at his age, look at his circumstances, which told him, you can't be what God made you to be. He had to take that and say, no, I'm going to hope against that hope. God said, I can be what it doesn't look like I can be. And I'm going to hope against hope, and I'm going to get a vision of what he said in order for me to become what God made me to be. That's why he's given us his word. He has given us his word so that we can see the vision that he has for our life. Church, you've got to get to a place where you stop, where you'll stop being moved by what you see. Stop being moved by the circumstances in your life. Don't let what's going on in the world dictate your future. Don't let what's going on, you know, around you and what's being said on Facebook and on the news and social media. You got to block all that stuff out and hope against hope that I can be who he made me to be. I can be what he made me to be. Say that out loud. I can be what he made me to be. But in order for him to become what God had made him to be, he had to have hope. What is hope? Vision. God had to get the vision to him. Abraham is not what God made him to be, and God says, I got to get the vision to him. And once he got the vision, he could run with it. And maybe today you're not where you want to be. Maybe you don't feel like you're where God wants you to be. And you say, how do I get there? You got to get a vision of it. You say, how do I get a vision? You get in his word. You receive his word. You hear his word. You envision, you imagine, you dream of what he said coming to pass in your life. That becomes your vision. Now turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Because you may be here today hearing this. And you might be saying, yeah, but that was Abraham. That was Abraham. That doesn't apply to me. All right, I hear you. We're going to deal with that. Because I'm going to show you it does apply to you. Everything that God does in his word, he does as an example for you and I to glean from you and I to learn from, for you and I to develop faith in. And what he does through the word and what's been recorded in his word is hope building, vision building, so that I can, through the hope of Scripture, see my life become what he planned it to be, what he made it to be. You got to get out of this mindset that you're insignificant, that God's not aware of you, when that's not the truth. He knows you by name, and he's numbered the hairs on your head, and the word says he knows your uprising, and he knows your down sitting, and he has thoughts for you, and they're thoughts of peace and not evil. And no matter what your life has looked like up to this point, your history does not have to define your destiny. If you could just get a vision for your life based on his word, not based on what your mama said, not based on what your daddy may not have said, not what other folk around you said about you, not what folk in this world have said, but get into his word and say, okay, Lord, what have you said about me? What is your plan for my life? I want to become what you made me to be. It can happen. We have a biblical precedent that does not happen till we get vision. So if the enemy wants to keep you from becoming what God made you to be, all he's got to do is blind you to vision. All he's got to do is keep you hopeless. And never let you see in the word of God who God made you to be. If you never see that, then you live a limited life because you don't know who God made you to be. Now watch this in Galatians 3. Whew, you there? All right, let's go to verse 7 because we've just looked at this example in Abraham, where Abraham was told of God, you're going to become the father of many nations. And don't think that Abraham didn't go through some trial from the time that God gave him that vision. Jesus already taught us in Mark 4, when you hear the word, Satan comes immediately. See, provision is the endorsement of vision. Provision is the endorsement of vision. So your child comes to you and says, Mama, can I borrow your car? And you say, for what? He says, well, there's a party tonight at a club I want to go to. Nah. Borrow my car, go to no club. All right, different scenario. Mom, can I borrow the car? What do you want the car for? Well, I was going to go to church tonight. Oh, baby, here. Just put some gas in it yesterday. Now you keep it clean for me now. See, vision, when vision's in line, and provisions offered, provision becomes the endorsement. Does that make sense? So you want God to endorse your life? You want God to bring forth provision? Provision being resources, finances, the right people in your life? Then you got to give him a vision to endorse. When you just walk through life, you have no vision. You're like, Lord, I don't want the Lord. Don't send me some resources. What would he send you the resources for? You don't even have a vision. If the vision, if he sent you resources and you have no vision, you wouldn't know what to do with it. You're like, man, look at all this stuff got me. You wouldn't even know what the stuff was for. See, there has to be vision before there can be provision. Provision is the endorsement of the vision. Division is the enemy to the vision. And so God gives Abraham vision, and he does that in Genesis 15. So see, when you look at the time between God telling Abraham he was going to have a child and the time the baby was born, 15 years. 15 years. Not because it took God 15 years. It was because Abraham would not write, run, and wait on God's vision. That baby could have been born in 9 months. Conception could have took place the same night. Come on, somebody. That's all I'm going to say about that. It didn't take God 15 years to get Isaac in the earth. It took Abraham 15 years because he wouldn't stay in line with division. It didn't take God, it was not going to take God 40 years to get the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. Some said it could have happened in 40 days. It took them 40 years because they kept going around the same mountain. If you want to see God's miraculous provision in your life, give him something to work with. Write your vision. Run. Start moving in line with that vision. Give God something he can endorse. Now, Abraham is the perfect example, but I don't want you looking at this saying, man, I wish that had been Abraham. Boy, Abraham was an awesome God, awesome man. They ought to write a song about Abraham. Oh, they did. Father Abraham had many sons. No. Don't get into an Abraham complex. Abraham is our example.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, be sure and visit our website at wogm.com. And I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.